بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين. The reason I don't put the mic on is because I notice some people are praying at the back. So out of respect for them, I try to not to disturb them to begin with. But it's better since an announcement is made that we have Durushi Majlis at this time. Those who pray Nawafil, they should show a bit of consideration too, because we are not comfortable using the microphones when our brothers are praying at the back. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المقدر المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تصد بعده أبدا آمين اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات آمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء، وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي، 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات، والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله، سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله، الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء، التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله التحيات لله، الصلوات لله، الزاكيات لله، السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله، الصلوات الطيبات، والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله. Now the other one as well. اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله. 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 So mashallah, we should try and recite Durushi, especially this time, the time that we're living through. It's a very complicated, very difficult time. Just to remind you briefly, just one thing, and before you leave, please stay here. When one person leaves, then the thread just breaks. Bajjant Vaidya. Doctor, please come back for a moment. Vaisav? Just for 1 minute, just sit down. It becomes, this is something I want you to take home. Do you remember when Saddam Hussein was assassinated, when he was hanged? Does anyone remember what happened a few years back? I think it was almost about 10, 12 years ago when he was hanged. What was happening at the time? Do you remember? Does anyone remember that clip, what happened at the time? Saddam Hussein was hanged. Do you recall what had happened? Kisi ko yaad hai? Saddam Hussein ki phansi ka manzar. What did he say last? What were his final words? Do you remember what was happening at the time? The Rawafiz at the time, people that were there, they were swearing at him. They were provoking him. They wanted him to respond. And the noose was around his neck. He was about to be hanged, and they were swearing at him. So what would someone in that fit of rage, what would be his response? An average person. He would swear back. And then that's when the button was going to be pressed. He would hang and he would die with a swear word on his tongue. So what did he say? Do you remember? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He allowed the dogs to bark. He did not respond. And he died with Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I'm not saying Saddam Hussein was a saint. I'm not praising him. What he did to the ummah at the time, people know. And people of Iraq, they have their stories to tell. I'm not defending him. All I'm saying is that a time comes when it's in your best interest to disengage from what's being said around you and focus at what needs doing. That is a lesson to learn. For your own benefit, you engage in, do not respond to what other people are saying. And people are trying to scare you. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, a time had come when they said, guys, you're about to perish, you're about to be finished, because the entire Arabia or people are planning now to come and attack you again, and you're already injured, and you have 70 martyrs, and half of Medina, they said there wasn't a single household in Medina where they didn't have a martyr or somebody injured. So in this state, you're about to be attacked again. So what did they say at the time? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. We're not scared. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So this is what you need to learn now. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And what do you need to focus at? What you need to do. And one of it is Durood Sharif. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. It's not by chance that we're doing this. What's happening here is the recommendation of not just one sheikh, every, mashallah, every elder, they're saying that you should try and do durood sharif because it benefits you in so many different ways. Connects you with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the best thing to happen to anyone. So, inshallah, make an effort. Today is our, I think, sixth majlis today. So we will be completing over 30 hadiths. Okay? So in a couple of weeks, we'll complete 40 hadith, inshallah, on the subject of fitrah. So we could possibly do next week, I think it's Shabbarat, 15th of Sha'ban, Nisf Sha'ban, which, again, some ulama, they agree to it, others do not. Our Shaykh Hazabana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the Shaykh, the great Shaykh of the Tablighi Jamaat, Hazrat Rahimahullah, he used to make an effort, and his students and Hazrat's and Hazrat Silsila, they make an effort. When it comes to the 15th of Sha'ban, they make an effort to spend the night in Ibadah. Make extra effort. They spend the night in Ibadah. This is a special night. And elders like Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, they all agree that this the importance of this night cannot just be brushed off. You can't just say that there's nothing. It has some validity. As I said, that almost more than 25 or 26 hadith, he said, they are there where this subject is discussed. He said, you can't say that it's not authentic and it's baseless. There is some foundation, and the elders of this ummah throughout, and then Hazrat makes a long mention that they all made an effort to stay awake on this night and do some ibadat, some nawafil, some tawbah, some extra effort. And then you can fast for 3 consecutive days. Rather than just fasting for one day, you fast on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday this week. And then this prepares you for Ramadan. If you make effort for 3 nights, and people who make this effort, they find the Ramadan easier. I've seen from previous years, those who make this effort, they find the start of Ramadan easy. So next Thursday, by chance, this year is on Thursday. It can be any day of the week, but by chance this week, this time is Thursday. So inshallah, we can try. We can try to make some effort next week. And simply is, I think we're supposed to complete after 6 weeks. Today we should have been, even if we did 50,000 durood sharif a week collectively, today should have been 300,000. But I don't think we are nowhere there because nobody's making the effort and we're not making a note of it. So can we start making the effort this week, inshallah? Try and recite durood sharif. Engage in durood sharif, you yourselves. So at least when it comes to 40 hadith, we have at least our 500,000 complete, 500,000. So our figure, alhamdulillah, the clock is ticking in terms of hadith. Today, inshallah, we'll do five every week. And we started the subject of fitrah, nature. And in fitrah, it's all about cleanliness. Madmad kulli is about rinsing your nostrils. The Prophet ﷺ said there are things that 10 things are part of fitrah, and this is also the culture of the prophets. All the prophets had these things. So, like as I said, cleaning your armpits, removing and shaving your pubes. Also, it's about your beard. It's about mustache. It is about everything that is to do with nature, the al-fitra. So there are, and also mutashabbihin, that men and women should have their own distinct appearance. So men should dress and appear like men, and women should dress and appear like women. So men are not even allowed to speak like women, and women are not allowed to speak like men. This behavior is condemned and cursed in our deen. لعن الله المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال. We hear that the Prophet ﷺ never used to curse. He was mercy to the world. But there were certain behaviors that were cursed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of those behaviors was that men who speak like, who behave like, who dress like women, they are cursed. Allah curses them. Rasulullah cursed them. So these are kind of things that we need to discuss and talk about. So we started doing. We're hoping to do, inshallah, maybe 200 hadith in a year on this subject, because this is a very deep subject. Last week we talked about circumcision, so that will continue. So please make an effort, inshallah, next Thursday. Try and recite durood sharif. So we hope to, inshallah, complete 250. I think I'll read, rather than 5 hadith today, I'll read 7 today and 8 next week. So we complete our 40 next week, inshallah. So, okay? So now those of you who want to leave, please do leave, inshallah. Okay? So we'll just read our 7 hadiths today and then we'll conclude, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Last week we talked about circumcision. The five hadiths that we read were all about circumcision, the importance of circumcision, and who should do it, whether is there any recommendation for women as well. So that is what we discussed last week. And we also talked about that circumcision and for this ummah is a mark of distinction, which was mentioned in the previous kitabs. So we read those ahadith last week. So today the next is al-istihdad. Al-fitra, one of the elements of fitra is al-istihdad. Al-istihdad means istimalul hadidi, istimalum min al-hadidi li-izalati shari. So using metal to remove hair from the body, that is istihdad. So that's shaving. So you use some kind of metal, you use some blades to shave certain areas of the body. And particularly al-istihdad is used for removing the pubes, that sharul ana, and the belly button, that area, the private parts, front and rear, that is talked about. That is the word al-istihdad, the term is used for that concept. So shaving the area around one's private parts, that is for men and for women both, this is a sunnah. This is one of the duties upon the ummatis of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they are men or women. So the definition here given by the fuqaha is al-istihdad. They say, so they talk about that this is about removing the sharul ana. Sharul ana, and the sharul ana is, what is that? That is asharul nabit fawqa dhakari rajuli wa farji al-mar'ati wa hawalihima. Now this is a bit embarrassing, to be honest. It's not very easy for me, those of you who know my nature, I'm not comfortable discussing these things in general public, but it has become such that people our youth try to get this information online. And a lot of it comes with a twist. So we have to discuss this. And our makatib, not everybody attends maktab in our community. Maktab is the evening schools in masajid. And unfortunately, most of them, even the makatib that are there, they're not, some are mashallah excellent, but the others, unfortunately, this information is not given there. So we need to discuss this, and hopefully this will work as a stimulant. It will raise some kind of concern, and it will make people think that maybe this is something that we need to discuss and learn. And hopefully, I'm trying to gather, making note of everything that's being discussed here. So hopefully, if we can print it later, 40 hadith or 100 hadith on al-fitra, then it will be beneficial to people. So one of this, as I said, is al-ana, the pubes. What's the pube according to the fiqh perspective? What's the definition? So the definition is that it refers to those hair that grow around the private part of a man and a woman. And around that means especially, particularly above and also below if there is growth. And the rear side, if there is growth, it's important that you don't, you don't do it if the hair are not there. So sometimes there are no hair, and people, the youth, the kids, in their teen years, they're not very careful, and sometimes they just do extra. And if you keep on shaving extra areas, there will be hair growth. And later on, it causes problems. And it does become an issue, and sometimes you're not able to exercise caution, and sometimes you make a cut, and that cut then can be difficult to heal because it is an area which is not exposed to the sun and to open, and then it creates a lot of discomfort. And even when it comes to tahara, it becomes difficult. So because this is a sensitive area, hence it is important that you exercise caution, but nevertheless it has to be done. Now, what is the hukam here? Is it sunnat or is it wajib? Some ulama are of the opinion that istihdad is sunnah, that this is sunnat, and there's extra merit if somebody didn't do it. At least he's not committing kufr. He's not living in sin. That's a bad phrase. At least this is the opinion of some ulama. But the established opinion here is that al-istihdad wajib. Istihdad, now the term is, there are two things here. One is shaving and one is removing hair using some other mean, which could be a cream, could be a powder, could be something else. So removing the hair is, that is the duty. Not shaving is not necessary. Shaving is just one option. Although some say shaving is sunnat, in certain areas, shaving is better because that's closer to the sunnat. And the other areas, they're not shaving but using in some other mean is closer to the sunnat. And we'll discuss it. I'll just as we pass on, we'll discuss this again as well. As a passing comment, shaving the pubes underneath the belly button, that area, private parts area, shaving there is closer to sunnah rather than using some cream or anything else. But when it comes to the armpits, the word there in the hadith that was discussed last week and before as well, and we'll probably read it again today, is natful ibt, which means plucking the hair. Now, plucking the hair doesn't mean that you shave it. Shaving is permissible, but using some other means where you could just pull the hair, and people are able to, those who did it from the start, they are able to do it if they had this information in early years, and rather than resorting to using of the blade in early years, they started using the other means. So it is possible for them. They are able to pluck, they are able to pull those hair. But this is, unfortunately, I don't think this applies to the majority. Pure negligence, pure lack of awareness. And many, just to be honest, it's quite painful. It's not easy. So just for the sake of convenience, some do it, but that's jais. It is jais, it is permissible. But the ideal when it comes to armpits is plucking, is pulling, and just using something else. And the pubes, that area, it is shaving and istihdad. However, it's important to note that this is one of the wajibat, one of the responsibilities. And now, what is the next, you'd understand this better if I raise next question. The question, say for instance, there's a scenario. If a couple, husband and wife, one of them refuses to clean themselves around that area, does the other have a right to demand that they keep themselves clean? This will highlight whether it is wajib or sunnah. If it's sunnah, then nobody else has the right to make such a demand. I do it, not do it. I do it for my akhirat. Okay, I understand that this is a virtuous way of life, but it's not obligatory, so you cannot make a demand. If it was sunnah. But no, this is not the case. If the other half demands that you should keep yourself clean, then it becomes incumbent and dutiful and responsibility that they keep themselves clean there. And to an extent, this is from their huquq, this is one of their rights. It's a right of husband to demand, make that demand from his wife, and also it's a right of for wife to make such a demand from the husband as well. And because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْرُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Just like they have duties, they have rights as well, and in this regard, it is their right that they demand cleanliness, and they demand the man to be clean. So they should do it, and this indicates that it is necessary and it is compulsory, and it's not really just mere choice. It is one of the duties. So now, and this is mentioned in the ahadith as well. So we're going to read five ahadith for today. I said that we'll try and read seven today, so we can complete next week 40, because it's a special night. So inshallah, we'll be able to get, there'll be two happy occasions for us. One would be just the night, the important night, and the other will be, the 40 hadith completed. So I'll just read to you the seven hadith for today, inshallah. The first hadith is this one. عن طلق بن حبيب قال, and this is a hadith where he reports from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال عشرة من السنة السواك وقصب, there's another one which says عشر من الفطرة, and mentions السواك وقصب الشارب والمضمضة والاستنشاق وتوفير اللحية وقص الأظفار ونتف الإبط والختان وحلق العانة وغسل الدبور رواه النسائي. That he says that 10 things are from reporting from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. He says 10 things are from the sunnah: using the miswak, trimming the mustache, rinsing the mouth and rinsing the nose, letting the beard grow, trimming the nails, plucking the armpit hair, circumcision, shaving the pubes, and washing one's backside, the rear side. That is also sunnah. Now, and then we are, so here you notice that clearly al-istihdad, shaving, is mentioned, that this is from sunnah. In terms of ahadith here, just give me a few minutes, because a few seconds, inshallah, not minutes. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The first hadith which is reported, all these ahadith are from Sihah. Everything that we're reading here, they are from the main Sihah. There's nothing from the other kitabs. An Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala, kunna ma rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ghazatin. Falamma qadimna al-madinata zahabna linadkhula faqala, amhilu hatta tadkhulu laylan. يعني عشاء لكي تمتشط الشعيثة وتستحب المغيبة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام حديث متفق عليه. جابر رضي الله عنه says that we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on an expedition. Then when we arrived at Al-Madina, we were about to enter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wait, do not enter. So do not enter. It was a daytime. He said, do not enter now. So you may enter by night. So the point was that we will camp outside Medina. The news will reach people of Medina. The army that went with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is returning. They've arrived. So then what will happen? In the evening, we'll enter in the evening in order that the women with disheveled hair may comb their hair. And the women whose husbands been away may shave their pubic hair, getting ready for their menfolk. This is reported by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, muttafaqun alayh. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is for women as well. And then, in fact, the Prophet, he mentioned it, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended this as a principle. In another hadith which is reported by Muslim rahmatullahi alayh, on the authority of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قدم أحدكم ليلا فلا يأتين أهله طروقا حتى تستحد المغيبة وتمتشط الشعيثة. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رواه مسلم. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if one of you comes back from a journey at night, he should not enter his house as a night visitor, but should wait until the lady whose husband is away from the house has removed the hair from her private parts, and a woman with disheveled hair has combed her hair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching an adab and ethic that if you're away for some time, don't just arrive at home in the middle of the night when they're not aware of your arrival. Give them a chance to get ready for you. So before you arrive, let them know, let them inform in advance that I will be arriving at a certain time, so they can get ready to welcome you and they can get ready to receive you. So you should try to arrive home with any before alert the family before you arrive at home, because what sometimes happens is that you find your other half in such a miserable state that when you see them in that state, you're put off for the rest of your life. So you will be hurting none but yourself. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us as an adab that this is something that this is what you should do. Now there's other hadith as well where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that you should do it. Okay. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال وقت لنا في قص الشارب وتقليم الأظفار ونتف الإبط وحلق العانة ألا تترك أكثر من 40. This is also reported by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. Anas ibn Malik radhiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wuqita lana, we were given a period. It was yani in regards to qass al-sharib, in regards to trimming our mustache, and in regards to that we were told not to let more than 40 days elapse between the times they clipped their mustache They trimmed their nails, plucked out hair under the armpits, and shaved the pubes. I'll read again. Anas radiallahu anhu said that they, i.e. the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were told not to let more than 40 days elapse between the times they clipped the mustache, they trimmed their nails, plucked out hair from under the armpits, and shaved the pubes. This should be done at least one in every 40 days, and they shouldn't delay it for more than 40 days. It is mustahab, it is recommended to do it every Friday. However, if you're not able to do it every Friday, then you should try to do this at least every 40 days. And then, this is report. So as I said, Anas radiallahu anhu said this. Now, there's the hukam here. Now, the ahkam that are going to talk about, that we're going to discuss there, I don't think we have time, so I'll just read the next hadith first, and then I'll go move on to some hukams, because it's important. Can you ask somebody else to do it for you? That's something to look at. An Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu qala. Before I move on to that, I'm reading another hadith. An Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala, kunna ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ghazwatin. فلما قفلنا كنا قريبا من المدينة تعجلت على بعير لي قطوف فلحقني راكب من خلفي فنخس بعيري بعنزة كانت معه فصار بعيري كأحسن ما أن ترى من الإبل فالتفت فإذا أنا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت يا رسول الله إني حديث عهد بعرس قال أتزوجت قلت نعم قال أبكرا أم ثيبا قال قلت بل ثيبا قال فهلا بكرا تلاعبها وتلاعبك قال فلما قدمنا ذهبنا لندخل فقال أمهلوا حتى تدخلوا ليلا أي عشاء لكي تمتشط الشعثة وتستحد المغيبة واتفق عليه ولفظه البخاري وفي رواية قال وحدثني الثقة أنه قال في هذا الحديث الكيس الكيس يا جابر يعني الولد. So same hadith, but this is with a bit more detail, and he has some extra lessons in it too. So here Jabir radiallahu anhu says that we were in the Prophet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a battle, and when we returned and approached Medina, I wanted to hurry while riding a slow camel. My camel was quite slow, but I wanted to rush. A rider overtook me, and he pricked me, my camel, with a spear which he had. Whereupon my camel started running as fast as any other fast camel you may see. So the touch that my camel had from the hand of this rider kind of just transformed the camel. It was a slow one, but now it became very healthy and started moving very fast. So I looked back at who this man was, and lo and behold, the rider was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose touch had transformed my camel. I said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm newly married, hence I am trying to speed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, have you got married? I replied, yes. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, did you marry a virgin or a matron? I replied, not a virgin, but a matron. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you marry a young girl so that you could play with her and she would play with you? When we reached near Medina and were going to enter it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wait till you enter your home early in the night so that the lady whose hair is unkept may comb her hair, and that the lady whose husband has been away may shave her pubic hair. Reported by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah. Another reliable narrator, Imam Bukhari says, another reliable narrator told me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added in this hadith, seek to beget children, O Jabir. Seek to beget children, O Jabir. Now, this hadith has many lessons in it. This is why I chose to, as part of our 40 hadith on this subject, the first 40, because there will be more 40 coming as well, inshallah. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has his sahabi Jabir. Jabir radiallahu anhu was amongst the young ones. And as a young sahabi, he married, and he got married, and he had, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and obviously he wanted to be home quick because he had a bride waiting at home. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first point here to note is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his miracle that Jabir's camel was slow, but when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched it with his spear, is subhanallah, immediately it was transformed, and Jabir was a witness. He was a witness to it, and then When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended to him, why did you not marry a virgin that she'd play with you and you'd play with her? Now this, should people not marry women that are divorced? That is the point here. No, it is permissible. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself married a lady that was divorced twice, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And all the women that he married, they were divorced other than Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this is not the point. The point is that sometimes for young people, it's better to marry someone of their age. Somebody like them. So other people, men are divorced and women are divorced too. So divorced men, divorced, they can choose, or mature men, they can find mature women, and those who were previously married, and they married and it ended in one way or the other. So for mature men, they are more suited. But for the youth, for the young ones who in their prime age, who it's probably more suited, they find someone that won't exploit them, won't take advantage of them, and someone of that is of their age, so they can devote themselves to each other. And then the last part is there, which we've explained in the previous hadith. And the final part here is Al-Kaysa ya Jabir. Jabir is a young man, but the Prophet ﷺ is saying to him, the young man, at this age, you should try to become father, you should try to have children. So if you become a father rather earlier in life, then you have more energy to devote and give to your children, and it's the gap between the parents, between the generations will be smaller. So it serves both better. By the time you are an old person, old man, your son, your daughter, they've grown up, and mashallah, they're able to help you and support you. So it is recommended that people get married, that the youth people do not delay their marriage unnecessarily. And also, this hadith teaches us that once you are married, do not postpone having children unnecessarily. We are not ready yet. We're not ready yet. We're going to have a baby later. And it's probably wiser that you think about it earlier in life and you not delay it unnecessarily. Now, I know the time's over, but I'd like to read one more hadith so we can complete, inshallah, or get closer to the 40 next week. So then, now the question here is that when it comes to shaving the pubes, is it permissible for anyone to ask for help? So can you ask, you go to a barber and ask him to do this for you? Or is that permissible? Now here, the hukam is that it's not permissible. You cannot ask a stranger to do that for you, because the Prophet ﷺ said, it is not halal, for it is not permissible for anyone to look at the private parts of the other. Men and women, it's not permissible for other men to look at your awra, and it's not permissible for you to look at their private parts. Same applies to the women. They are not allowed to look at the awra of each other. And the Prophet ﷺ, this is something, and if someone is unable to, sometimes may Allah ta'ala forbid, they have accidents. People are unable to, so someone's hand breaks or something happens, he's not able to do it for himself. Then if you're married, it is permissible that your spouse, your other half, does it for you. That is jais in situations where one is not able to do it themselves. And this is, it's only last week we got a call from a hospital that this gentleman, he was unconscious, and he'd been in that state for good 2-3 months. He'd had a heart attack, and after that he's been in ICU, and obviously he's been there for 2-3 months, and there's growth there, and he's not been able to keep to clean it, remove it. So the family wanted to know that it's their duty to go and do it and clean it. Is that something that's a responsibility? Is that part of their duties? Because the man, the person, was unconscious. He was not, yani even salat is not fard on him in that state. This was not necessary. This was not necessary. If the wife wanted to do it, maybe, but this is not obligatory. They didn't have to do it because he is in that state where even namaz is not fard upon him. But if someone is conscious, someone is fine, someone's alert and awake and unable to do it, and the wife then does it, then that is perfectly fine, that is legitimate. Here, I'm just going to read 2 ahadiths to you. I've conveyed the gist of it. We'll read the 2 ahadiths and conclude with dua, because we're meant to finish at 8:30. So just read the 2 ahadiths. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. An Nabi Sayyidina Khudri radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, la yanzuru ar-rajulu ila 'awrati ar-rajuli wa la al-mar'atu ila 'awrati al-mar'ati wa la yufdhi ar-rajulu ila ar-rajuli fi thawbin wahidin wa la tufdhi al-mar'atu ila al-mar'ati fi thawbin wahid. وعن بهز بن حكيم عن أبيه عن جده قال: قلت يا رسول الله عوراتنا ما نأتي منها وما نذر؟ قال: احفظ عورتك إلا من زوجتك أو ما ملكت يمينك. قال: قلت يا رسول الله فإذا كان القوم بعضهم في بعض؟ قال: إن استطعت ألا يراها أحد فلا يرينها. قلت: فإذا كان أحدنا خاليا؟ قال: فالله أحق أن يستحيا منه. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also give us tawfiq to benefit from it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم إنا نسألك خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.